"It's our right to be virgins as often as we like," Gail told the girls surrounding her, like petals round a pollen packet. "Just imagine it," she said. "Louise, Fatima, Deirdre and Canon." She pronounced their names like accusations. She snuck the tip of her index finger into each of their mouths and made their cheeks go pop, pop, pop. "I did mine already with this finger," she said. The girls flinched and wiped their taste buds on their pinafores. Blood dotted the bathroom tiles, but it wasn't a lot, and it wasn't as sore as, like, piercing your own ears without ice, she concluded ominously. "And now I don't have to obsess over it like all these morons. You should all do it tonight. We'll talk tomorrow, and I'll know if you've done it or not." Tiny hairs on their ears trembled at her inaudible breath, like Juliet's. Gravely, she confessed, "Some of you will need capsules all your life, all the way to your wedding night because of being Muslim or really, really Christian. Wipe your snot, Miriam. It's a fact of life. It's also helping people. Boys will think they're taking something from you when the capsule cracks. But you'll know better," she said. "You'll know there was nothing to take." Gail was 11. It was her last term of primary school. Perhaps that was why the proposition backfired. The girls were getting ready to fly off to some other wealthy, witheringly beautiful leader. But Gail wasn't disturbed by this. She no longer needed a posse. It would be tidier if they fell away than having to break them off.
"Really, really Christian like your brother," Deirdre replied. "Isn't he an altar boy?"
Gail rolled her eyes so dramatically it gave her a back-of-socket headache. "He hasn't got a hymen, Deirdre, so he's obviously irrelevant." Deirdre and Louise's mirth was exacerbated by the fact that Miriam's tears had now formed a terracotta paste with the foundation she'd tried on at the bus stop pharmacy earlier. "How much would the virgin pills cost?" Becca wanted to know. "What would Gail price them at?"
"Whatever," Gail said. "What does that matter? Pocket money is what. Everyone'll want them. Hundreds, if not millions of people, Rebecca. So choose."
She challenged their non-committal natures, looking from girl to concave girl.
"Well, are you or aren't you? In?"
She addressed the dandruffy crowns of their heads. Of late, they'd become less worthwhile spending time with. Even playing sports, they didn't want to sweat. Headbutting nothing, the chimney black sweep of her hair kicked forward and she thrust them off like a sudden squall that separates what's fly away from what's fixture. "Stupid girls," she thought, as the lunch bell trilled and they straggled toward their classrooms. Back to Times tables. The slow, stupid, common operations. Turning her back on the blackboard, she took a bottle of Tippex from her bag and began painting her nails a corrective white. It smelled of Guthrie's bedroom. Acrid, concentrated, tissues fouled with paint from cleaning his brushes. Exoneration. Her little brother, the acolyte. On the ninth nail, she lifted her head from the fumes to find Deirdre Kincannon striding into the room alongside the guidance counsellor, who approached Gail's desk with a blob of tuna mayo in the corner of her puckered mouth, a mobile phone held out, and a polite invitation for Gail to take her depraved influence elsewhere. The number Gail dialed was familiar, though, as Mum was out of town, it was to be an unfamiliar fate.